That's me, baby. Portions of today's show brought to you by my friend and attorney, Chuck Davis. ChuckDavisLaw.com. No representations made that the legal services provided are superior legal services provided by other attorneys. Chuck Davis can handle your accident case, your slip and fall case, your personal injury case, your medical malpractice case, your wrongful death suit. Yeah. He'll tell you whether or not you have a case to begin with. That's number one, right? Let's make sure that you actually have a case. Let's not go off and spend a whole bunch of money and time pursuing something that is going nowhere. And to find out whether or not you have a case, you make that initial consultation, which is at no cost to you. You tell Chuck your story. He says, yeah, no, or yeah, but not with me. I got somebody else that you should go see. And that is what he does. He also handles things like divorce and custody and wills and probate, $99 simple wills right now. He also handles contracts, things of that nature. So you need to give the guy a call, 823-9992, just to find out whether or not you are in need of a lawyer. It's a good idea just to have that number in your phone, 823-9992. Put it down as Chuck Davis, my lawyer. And then when you need a lawyer, you can just go, what was that guy's name? Type lawyer into the search bar, and there he is, Chuck Davis, 823-9992. He is my lawyer. He should be your lawyer. ChuckDavisLaw.com. And now the man who used to be my lawyer before I unceremoniously fired him and switched to Chuck Davis. Say hello to Mark Spott Friedman.
You could have at least paid the last bill.
I didn't get it. It must have been the post office, Spott. I'm blaming the post office for this.
I bet you've used that line on a lot of bill collectors.
Repeatedly. You ever do that thing where you put the check for the electric company into the gas company envelope and the other way around? You've done so. Oh, I'm sorry, I screwed that up. Darn it! Because you didn't have the money to pay either bill.
So Sears is asking back here, what do you mean checks in envelopes? What are those? Checks in envelopes? How does that work?
I have a sneaky suspicion David Sears is old enough to know what a check in an envelope is. I actually still write a couple of checks every month. Not many, though.
When I have to.
Yeah.
But rarely. It's so easy to just send it through the internet.
I would rather do it online, to be honest with you. But at one point, I paid my cable bill with a check and put it in the box. And they came back later and said, well, you haven't paid yet. And I was like, no, I really did. And they're like, no, it's due tomorrow. And I'm like, I swear to God, I paid it. It's down here. I've got it in the log and the check. I've got the thing, whatever. But they're like, look, it's due tomorrow. And if you don't pay, I was like, okay. I paid online. Mm-hmm. Of course, the check showed up 2 days after that.
So now you're prepaid.
I was covered for the next month, which was nice.
But you couldn't eat the rest of this month.
I could. I'm not in that shape anymore. I was at one time.
Yes.
But I'm not that way. But I will say this. It gave me a healthy distrust of the Postal Service. That was the point at which I was like, I literally mailed that thing like 6 days ago. How is it not there?
It took that long to give you the distrust?
I know. Can you believe it? I should have been distrustful much sooner.
If you are that trusting, Richard, I have this program on extended car warranties.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. And,
why don't you give me a call later?
Mortgage
we can talk
refinance.
About it. Would you
mortgage
call me and discuss it?
I can help you with that. We're just doing a short survey.
Do you have
Yeah. What cable system are you on?
Any kind of health insurance that you could sell?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. If you're on Medicare,
love that.
We've got all kind of supplements.
Hot diggity dog. I'm so excited. Oh, now this is sad. Nearly 100 missing in the Florida condo collapse now. We've got that number. That's an insane situation where a building just basically fell apart in Seaside? Not Seaside.
Surfside, Florida.
Yeah.
Which I did. I was listening to Val Vining this morning, and that's her general home base, South Florida, and man,
yeah.
It's just scary because it comes out of nowhere, and you know if you were in there, the shot of adrenaline that would have run through your body when you experience something that's frightening and completely unexpected and unknown to you.
Yeah.
So now I'm sure there are people in there saying, "I hope they get to me."
Sure.
If you had a loved one, the one thing I didn't find out is this condo a rental kind of condo or a owners live there kind of condo?
I don't know either, but I'm going to guess.
Sears, did you get anything on that?
Owners live there.
I think it is homeowners. I don't think it is a vacation condo.
But people are obviously, just like a smaller version of 9/11, they're disturbed. They don't hear anything.
Sure.
You can't get any information, and you may be long way away. Was this, does this have like a, was it weather related or
no.
just all of a sudden just no. the building got weary and said, I got to take a nap?
40 years on, the building just decided, portions of it just said, that's it, we're done. Probably, I'm going to guess they do a little bit of investigation. They're going to find some sort of corners were cut, some sort of engineering problem.
Oh, really?
So that would be my guess.
It's just not just structural wearying over time. Usually they ought to have building inspectors doing that.
This building is 40 years old, but
right.
we're in a building that's 40, okay?
Would it surprise you if it started to collapse?
It would.
Yes.
It absolutely would.
And would it be straight from perfect to collapse? Or did you like a few months,
well,
a few
point,
weeks ago, do you say,
yeah.
I felt something funny in here. You know, things were wiggling that
there
shouldn't
was some
be wiggling.
Creaking and cracking
yes.
going on that I thought something might have been. And the same is true. You know, we've got buildings downtown that are 100 years old, man.
Right.
And they're still standing. It's unreasonable to say, well, it was 40. It was just too old.
Oh,
we've
no.
got buildings older than that all over the United States.
Yeah, the constant beating by the wind and the surf
sure.
Shortens the life. I bet you that the other condos along there mm-hmm. are hiring inspectors now.
Probably.
Can you come by? Well, I can get you in a week from Thursday. No, I'm talking about tomorrow.
I've got to
make sure mine is not.
Let's get a look-see at what's going on. Yeah, 99 right now. The missing tally climbs to 99. That's got to be nothing more than, I know my Aunt Matilda lives there, and I can't get in touch with her, and so I, you know, need to report her as missing.
One dead
yeah.
and 30-plus rescued, so not counting the deceased person, that means 30-plus 90.
Yeah.
120 people were at least...
Don't really know how many.
Trapped. Yeah, we'll oh, it could be more, yeah, but it was at least
yeah.
trapped in there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the horror of that?
No, I would rather not, thank you.
Okay.
I
I don't want to introduce any angst into your life. You've got enough on your own.
Pretty angsty, yes, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm full of angst. I'm angst. Ridden is the word I think.
Maybe Coke Zero wash some of that angst
think
down.
It will help? It could. All right. Yes. You've been a busy boy today.
Spike yes.
comes in here complaining about how busy he is. I'm like, dude, you're retired. How busy can you possibly be?
I overscheduled. I played bridge at the club for the second time
yeah.
In a year and a half because
oh, nice.
We just reopened.
Nice.
And I went there and the game started at 9:30 and ended at 1-something. And then I raced back down 65 to Green Springs.
You blew right through that morning nap time, didn't you? My God.
And I'm suffering at this point.
What a nightmare.
But being the trooper I am,
yes.
I will soldier on through this
You'll
radio
somehow
show.
Muddle through and make it to the afternoon nap.
But I did stop by the Publix and acquire yeah. some supplies for this barbecue I'm attending.
Supplies?
That's right.
Very good.
And some other things that, you know what you can't find around here?
What can you
Dr. Brown's cream soda.
No Dr. Brown's?
Sears, is that on your list?
Son of a.
I do not have that in Jasper.
Jasper, I can't find it at Walmart, which is a pretty bad.
Amazon? Order it through Amazon?
You know, that's where I got to look next. Richard and I were talking off the air about rotating drinks through because if you're just limited on what you can drink and you're going non-alcohol and non-sugar, that really reduces the menu. So Richard said he's alternating water with diet soda, and I'm alternating different kinds of diet soda.
You can get so pack of 24 for $39 on Amazon.
So that's a buck and a half a place.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, I'll go that
those
way.
Those are 12-ounce cans.
Dr. Brown's cream soda. What is the attraction? Who wants that? Who's asking for that?
You're
not
looking
me.
For the diet, right?
Not
yeah.
Me. Oh, you
sugar
want the
free.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, because
you.
The it falls into pretty much three categories. Your mm-hmm. Coke kind of drinks.
Yeah.
Your Mountain Dew kind of drinks.
Uh-huh.
And your Sprite kind of drinks.
Right.
Unsweet tea. And I need a fifth for this basketball team, and I'm going to cream soda. I'm sticking okay. with Jerk Store.
Jerk Store.
Yes. Cream soda. I'm going with cream soda for my fifth, so you don't get, you know, you got a rotational thing.
What do they need me for? You're their number one seller. I had sex with your wife. It's 208. What?
His wife is paralyzed.
Big stupid question of the day. I think she was in a coma, wasn't she?
Yes.
Big stupid question of the day. The most influential band outside of the Beatles. Most influential band outside of the Beatles. Once again, influential can mean any number of things. What it doesn't mean is your favorite band, okay? That's not the same thing. It has to have been influential in terms of maybe making people want to become musicians or in terms of influencing songwriting styles or in terms of influencing different types of bands and music that came along. I'll tell you one that shows up a lot on social media that is that's 100% correct, and no one has called it in yet, but Kiss.
Oh, you did that to me.
I'm sorry.
You usurped me.
I apologize.
U-S-U-R-P.
Usurped.
Yes.
Before.
Not syrup.
Before Kiss, if you want to see what a rock and roll concert looks like, watch the Woodstock movie. There's nothing wrong with Woodstock, and there's nothing wrong with the acts at Woodstock. But basically, it was people standing up on a stage playing the guitar and singing, and that was it. And Kiss was the first group. They used to call it the Rock and Roll Circus Kids back in the day. They showed up. They were breathing fire. They had these cool pyrotechnics. They had giant lecterns and podiums that would lift way up in the air while they were playing. They had light shows. This stuff didn't exist before Kiss came along. They changed the rock and roll concert as we know it to become what it is today.
The biggest thing we had was either James Brown or Mick Jagger dancing around wildly on stage. That was the most animation
As good as it got, man.
Right.
As good as it got. And I'd throw in the Grateful Dead for that, too, because they were the first group that said, why can't the concerts sound really good? Why can't we make the concerts sound as good as the music people are hearing in their living room? And so they worked very, very hard on creating great sound systems, which then other groups went, wait, you can do that? I mean, look, the whole reason the Beatles stopped touring is because they were like, we don't want to go play our songs and make them sound like crap to a bunch of people.
I'll tell you, regale you with my story of seeing them in 65 in Atlanta.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they used the basic sound system from Fulton County Stadium at the time, right?
Speakers on the mound.
Right. I mean,
speakers on the mound.
Seriously. That's how bad it was. That's what you were listening to. And so any group that came along that fixed that, you got to give them props for that, right? Okay, so there's a couple that I just threw out there. You're welcome to dial yours in. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. I teased you with a story on Gavin Newsom earlier and then failed to pay it off. I will give you that when we return. He said teasing it a second time. Don't go away.
Giddy up, 409. Giddy up, 409. Giddy up, 409.
Interestingly, this was one of the four or five songs that the Beach Boys did that were all sort of race car oriented, you know, vehicle oriented.
Little Deuce Coupe.
And that one and Shut Down, yeah. All that stuff. And they were written by Brian Wilson and a guy down the block. I want to say his name was Gary Smith or something of that nature. I don't recall.
It wasn't David Marks.
It was not.
Okay.
It was this dude lived down the block from their childhood home, and they got together. And Brian knew nothing about cars, and this Gary cat knew a lot of stuff about cars. And so he helped him write the lyrics to it and everything. And the reason why it was so short-lived is because Murray Wilson, Brian Stan, didn't like him hanging out with that Gary guy. You know, he didn't like him influencing him. And so he put his foot down and said, you will not be dealing with him anymore.
That Murray was a sweet guy.
What an ass.
How about this? How many people heard that song, and the lyric, and one more thing, it's got the pink slip, Daddy.
Yeah.
And people are saying, what the is a pink slip? my lead guitarist from my book said Gary Usher.
Gary Usher?
Yes.
Okay.
He's good. He could play all those car and surf songs, my guy, while I strummed a little bit on the rhythm guitar.
Oh, excellent. Good to
know. You know, you and I are performing at the Jawbone Jam.
This is what Spud keeps saying. We're going to practice a couple of times and see whether or not that actually happens.
Yes, we are.
So it has to
pass muster.
The Gavin Newsom recall is on like Donkey Kong, baby. You know, they in California, you had to have almost 1.5 million signatures.
That's right.
To get this recall on the ballot. It was like 1.465 or something like that. It was like very, very close to 1.5 million. They got 1.7 million, and they turned them in. And, of course, the big hope among the Newsom faithful, all of them, two of them, both of them, was that they'd be able to go through and find enough signatures to disallow this thing, that they could go through and they could find 250,000 signatures that would be like, nope, you missed it, sorry, which would mean they'd have to go back and start all over again if they decided they wanted to actually pursue this thing. So they turn in their 1.7 million signatures. They did this a couple of months ago, March, I believe it was, and over the course of the last 6 or 8 weeks, you know, the team who does such things has pored over said signatures and has discarded those that they have deemed to be unworthy.
How many?
43,000?
43. 4,300?
43.
Oh, 43, like
43
10 times 4 plus 3.
43 people signed Dick Hertz, you know, Michael Hunt,
yes.
You know, Chuck Wagon,
yes.
Ben Dover,
yes.
His sister Eileen Dover. All of those names turn out to not be worthy. But other than that.
Beaver Cleaver.
Yes. Wally Cleaver.
Wally Cleaver, Ward Cleaver, uh-huh. June Cleaver, and Eldridge Cleaver, that's the famous Cleaver
my favorite. Family. Let's go to the phones. Mark is in Jasper. Mark, you're on Talk 99.5 with an answer to the big stupid question. What do you got, man?
Richard, I thought of this one, and I thought, well, maybe it's not a trendsetter because they blended a lot of things. Then I thought, well, rock and roll's a blend anyway, and that's the Allman Brothers.
The Allman Brothers were certainly one of the early jam bands, you know,
who
said,
right.
You don't have to have a set ending to a song. You can just keep right. going if you want to.
I actually fell asleep during Mountain Jam one time, I'm ashamed to say.
Oh, that's
and woke up and the song was still going.
That's right. Amazingly. 2 days later. Thank you, Mark.
That's really good.
Nothing wrong with that,
They predate the Dead?
No. They were contemporaries to some degree, but the Dead was a little bit earlier, starting off in San Francisco, of course. The Allman Brothers had that Southern style of rock, though, kind of along the Leonard Skinner, very...
Would you say that was the origin of Southern rock?
I would not think so, no. I think Skinner was probably a bigger player in that because they... I mean, think about the number of people who cite Leonard Skinner as a major influence. Molly Hatchet and Blackfoot and, you know, there's just a ton of groups out there. Blackberry Smoke. There's a ton of groups out there that point to Skinner as their grandpappy. Greg is in Tuscaloosa. What you got, Greg?
Hey, Richard, I want to tell you, you were talking about the influences on Kiss had on concerts and such.
Yeah.
But there was an influence for sound before the Dead. That was Phil Spector and what he was doing. And also, Gene Simmons once said that his biggest influence for doing a live show came from David Bowie and what David Bowie's doing theatrically.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, making things theatrical, sure. But Phil Spector, are you sure you're not thinking about Phil Graham? Because Phil Spector was in the studio. You know, Phil Spector wasn't able to do that.
Wall of Sound.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wall of Sound, that's Spector.
Sure, but that was on records, man. You know, you were unable to do that.
He was influential, just not on this big, stupid question.
Right. I mean, he was instrumental, but not in concert.
Right, not in concert. In the studio, very influential.
I think he influenced Brian Wilson to a large degree.
That's true.
Brian Wilson's main goal was to be better than Phil Spector. And it took him a while, but he got there. Good, Greg. Thank you for the call, man.
He didn't kill anybody.
As far as we know. Reggie is in Jemison. Reggie, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Yes, sir. I would say Garth Brooks, and some would say he even ruined country music, and I would be one of those. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, many people think that. Look, I'm not. It's to me, it's not about whether you like or dislike the group, okay? That's not what this question is. I think that he did, in fact, influence an awful lot of people. But I'll tell you what, Garth Brooks was influenced by, what was his name? Pure Country. David Sears. Why am I asking you? You're a metalhead. He was a short little guy. He was Entertainer of the Year forever. Can't think of his name off the top of my head anyway.
George Strait?
George Strait, yeah. He was the guy.
Yeah,
George Strait was the guy who actually persuaded, because Garth Brooks was trying to decide whether to go country or rock and roll, and he looked at George Strait and said, what that guy's doing, I think I can do it, and I think I can do it better. And so he decided to go country. So you got to give George Strait some props. If you're mad at Garth Brooks, then you really hate George Strait.
And Garth Brooks, I think, is the third biggest selling artist of all time.
He's great, no doubt.
Yeah.
But he did change country music.
He did indeed. Maybe not for the better.
Way. No.
Reggie. I hate to. I love 90s country. I do. I just love it. It's probably my favorite era of country outside of the really early stuff.
See, I like
Hank
the 80s.
Senior and stuff.
I like the 80s country.
See, the 80s.
Hank Jr. and Oak Ridge Boys, Statler Brothers.
It's a little
Larry Gatlin.
Too poppy for me.
Of course, I'm a poppy guy.
Yes, you are.
That's right.
That's why they call you Poppy.
That's right.
Here's
he didn't wash his hands.
EC in Hueytown. EC, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Poppy's sloppy. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I just passed Bucky's, by the way. Not being smart, Alex, but I did pass it.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, I'm on the fix to get off the next exit. Listen, I would go with Elton John. I don't know if it's the first, but wasn't he the first, like the first outright gay singer or performer?
Not that I know of. I'm pretty sure there were plenty of outright gay singers.
I'm going to go out on a limb and go with Liberace on some of
this. Yeah, he was certainly first. Although he wasn't technically outwardly. But I can say this. Using the piano, I mean literally the piano, not the keyboard, the piano as a main rock and roll instrument, not a lot of people doing that before Elton John.
Right.
Not a lot of people doing
that. So he does have a place. He does have a place.
Absolutely.
Okay. I thought it came out and said, you know, announced he was gay went that route before other people did it outright.
I don't know whether that's true. I know that in 1984 he got married to a woman.
Yeah.
So his career had been blowing and going for about 13, 14 years before we were all shocked. We were all like, wasn't he gay? We thought he was gay. And then, of course, when he got divorced and then came out of it was like, yeah.
When are stories about people revealing themselves as gay not going to be news stories anymore?
I'd like to think now.
Yeah, sooner the better.
Thank you for the call, EC. Seriously, I mean, we just had the first NFL, active NFL player.
Like, that's
to
news.
Come out and say, I'm gay. And here's the shocker about that, wasn't Cam Newton. That was the big, took me by surprise.
You're going to hell. You are going to hell. And I'm telling you what, they're going to send a limo for you.
I'm taking you with me.
Yes. Get a duplex.
I'm taking you with me.
Get a duplex with a big TV.
All right, here's the thing.
Ice machine.
You know, I couldn't personally give a damn about your sexual proclivity. I do not care. I care more about your stats in the NFL. Okay, first news time. Back in a moment, Richard Dixon talked on it and fun. Also, in addition to being the first band to really change the rock and roll experience, the first band to so radically alter the music on their live album that they themselves admit that not much of the original product remains. That is to say, you know, you set up a bunch of different microphones in a concert recording experience, some to record the band, some to record the crowd, and then anything that's radically wrong later, you can go back and you can change it in the studio. You can fix the bass part that got off. You can fix the drum part that got off, whatever. They themselves admit that they re-recorded so much of this album that almost none of the original, the only thing original about it is the crowd sound. Which is kind of amusing.
So after they recorded it, they go back in the studio and start altering
and fix
the parts.
They fix, quote, fix, unquote, the stuff that was wrong.
So it's really just becomes a studio album with crowd noise.
That's basically what that album is. Now, that's not true of every album. I mean, there are plenty of live albums out there that are very good live albums. But this one, and apparently the Eagles live album, are the two that really... Most people who have, like, yeah, that's not. But most of Frampton Comes Alive is still very much live.
One of the original Beach Boys, the first Beach Boys live album was called Concert, and the liner notes said that the technicians and engineers had a hard time positioning the microphones so you could hear the Beach Boys.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, they were trying to get... Sure. Eliminate as much crowd noise as they can so they could hear the actual music.
Well, there's a great Beatles documentary out there right now by Ron Howard, 8 days a week.
Great.
It's about touring.
I've seen it twice.
And it's the only one that I've seen where you can really hear them playing live because they've managed to digitally somehow separate the crowd sound from the band and bring it down. Because normally when you hear a Beatles live recording from their early days, all you hear is screaming women. You know, it's just terrible.
You know why?
Because that's all there were there. Right.
I was at the concert in Atlanta in 1965. I'll give you I can isolate the date because the number one song on the charts was two-sided hit, I Feel Fine and She's a Woman. That was what was number one then, so that tells you the time frame. And they played on the mound, and the speakers on the mound, they had not any big Marshall, you know, wall of sound. They just had some speakers there, and the screaming, of course, you were at least 150 feet away, the closest spectators because of security. So now I'm listening to this. You can hardly hear what song they're playing. And then Ringo says, I couldn't hear
right
because the speakers are pointed the other way. He said, I'm just watching their butts trying to keep time with what.
That's the thing that really shocks me about it is when you do see this, if you do happen to catch 8 days a week, how good they sound for a band that you know couldn't hear themselves. Like, that's just amazing to me. And sometimes on stage, I'll have that same problem. I'll be like, I've completely lost the band here. Well, I'm just going to keep playing at this pace and hope they can hear me because otherwise we're in trouble. Then I'll watch a video later that somebody recorded. It'll be like, we actually sounded pretty good there. I'm surprised.
Is it Peter Jackson who's doing the Get Back movie coming out? It keeps getting postponed, but I think they said August now.
Can't get it to it soon enough. I mean, hurry up,
I'm
guys.
There. As soon as you can go, I'm with you.
You and I should go together. That's Parrot right. Structural Services bringing you portions of today's show. ParrotSS.com and the World Wide Web. ParrotSS.com. They're licensed, they're bonded, they're insured, they're E-Verify compliant, and if you have a foundation problem, they have a foundation solution for you. In fact, they've got a dozen or so, depending on what might be wrong. They have all these cool tools, and most importantly, they know which ones to use on which problems, which ain't always the case. They also, the group that say, get yourself a structural engineer if you're unsure, because they want to make sure you're 100% satisfied with what you're getting. Hey, you also get a warranty and a guarantee on the work. How much cooler is that? That's ParrotSS.com, 668-2626. Parrot Structural Services. We'll take another couple of calls, and then we'll find out what Spud wants to talk about today. Glenn is in the ham. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, just had an answer to the big, stupid question.
Most influential band outside the Beatles. What do you got?
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
What makes you think that they're influential?
I actually watched a documentary on that band. It was about last week, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And how influential she was towards really women in the rock and roll side of things, and how she influenced a lot of your pop stars nowadays as well.
Hmm. You would think the Runaways would have been more influential because that was an all-girl band. And, I mean, Joan Jett was probably more popular than the Runaways, to be fair. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it threw away the whole idea of just being about women's power and all this kind of stuff, even though she's somewhat of a feminist anyway. But she had the men along with her, so she was kind of the black sheep of that whole women's movement.
Getting both of those is a pretty big deal. Beautiful, Glenn. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Here is Bo in Sylacauga. Bo, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, Richard. I don't know if you'll connect this, but I'm going to say Robert Johnson and John Lee Hooker.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get much more influential than that, right?
Well, right to the base.
Yeah. You're taking it all the way back to the beginning. These are the guys who, you know, without them, how do you get that Mississippi Delta sound, which then leads into, by combining it with folk, country, and pop of
bluegrass
the day.
Bluegrass mix in, too.
I mean, it all kind of comes together and creates the influence that became rock and roll.
The one band that I really identify with is the Allman Brothers.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Love it. Thank you, Bo. Good call. 545-9950.
I had never heard of Robert Johnson until I saw the movie Crossroads.
Oh, really?
I just didn't know who he was. You know, I listen to the radio. Everything I got on my music background is from listening to the radio. They didn't play Robert Johnson.
Didn't play a lot of Robert Johnson on there. That's funny.
They didn't play a lot of Little Richard.
Yeah.
You know, early on.
Right.
They didn't play a
Talk about influential.
Yes.
You know, if you get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they give you an Elvis. It's a statue that is in the shape of Elvis Presley. That could just as easily be a Chuck Berry. That could just as easily be a Little Richard.
Buddy Holly.
That could just as easily be Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's to say that rock and roll has one father is probably unfair. It's a multitude. It was formed by committee in the long run. And they all influenced each other. I mean, to think that we actually got to 1963 before we ran across a band of four lads who played their own instruments, wrote their own music, sang their own songs, and didn't need a backing group, you know? To really inspire God knows how many people in the United States of America. You know, and they were inspired by Buddy Holly and the Crickets who came before them.
And then they go on to the Beatles, obviously number one in this category. They go on to show you that you can do recordings that you couldn't recreate on stage, and that's okay.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with producing music that you can't recreate on stage, and that's really freed up a lot of bands.
Perfectly okay to do so. Looking at a slug line here, it's on Fox News, says, report, homicide victims are disproportionately black. Now, what would be the automatic follow-up slug or question that you'd like to know?
How about the perpetrator?
Yeah, who's the one killing them? Who's responsible for their death? I would like to know that, because when you put something up like that, it makes it sound like, well, this is black people are being put upon and it's unfair. And then when you actually do the investigation and find out, no, the vast majority of black people who are killed by black people, suddenly it's like, okay, well, hold on a second. Then maybe we should stop all of that from taking place, right?
Yeah. What, who's against that?
Nobody that I know of. At least I hope not. Shouldn't be anybody.
I got some things on my list.
Yeah?
I'm going car shopping tomorrow. You got any suggestions for me?
Why are you going car shopping?
Well, my car's 6 years old.
Oh, my God. 6 years. What a nightmare.
It's got and it still has some trade-in value. And yeah. I like some of the gadgetry you can get on new cars.
I would agree with that.
I've listed what's important to me in a car. And after safety and dependability, entertainment is third. It comes ahead of comfort.
Yeah.
I can live with less comfort as long as I'm entertained. Last on the list is high performance. That's, you know, speed, torque, and also high style. I don't really want to spend any extra money on style than is the minimum. So I'm going car shopping. Is there any way to win that game?
Well, I've had success. Of course, I don't buy new, so that has something to do with it. You're probably going to look for new because that's who you are. Mm-hmm. That's how you roll. I'm not. I tend to be, I'm always willing to get up and walk away. Okay, that's step number one. Sometimes I'll throw in something at the end, right when, you know, it's right there and you're ready to buy and this is all, then you throw in that, like for instance, when I bought my Pontiac Grand Am. No, that was my Grand Prix, actually. Sat down, negotiated with the sales guy, came up with everything, and, you know, he got it to where, and I said, oh, and by the way, it can't cost more than X amount per month. And he was like, what? I said, that's my limit. I can't spend more than X amount. I think it was like $270 a month. Because he really begged me. He wanted to finance it. And I was like, yeah. I got a credit union that can finance it. Oh, well, you got to let me finance. Because, of course, that's where they make their money.
Sure, yeah. Right.
So I said, it can't be more than $270. Well, he had to go back and sharpen the pencil and come back.
Talk to the manager behind the curtain.
Exactly. Yeah. Came back, and it was like $269.80 a month, which worked out well. And about 4 months later, I took the whole thing over and refinanced it through my credit union anyway. So
the last time I negotiated, which was before COVID, we were just like $3,000 apart.
Yeah.
And I let it go, and I went home, and I said, I let this go for $3,000. We're not going to get $3,000 out of happiness of getting that new car. Does that make a difference?
I don't know. That depends. It's on you, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, have you ever walked away from a deal or bought something slightly inferior than what you wanted because of cost and regretted that later?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I was buying poker chips. This was years and years ago. And I bought the medium quality poker chips instead of the high quality. And I saved like $35. What are you doing?
Right.
You get the best poker chips in the world.
Get what you want. You'll never regret it. I mean, you told me that about my glasses. I said I didn't add the sun coating on mine because I said it was another $70. And you were like, you think you wouldn't get $70 worth of joy out of that? And I was like, yeah, good point. Next time I got it, and I've
so I should have told myself the cheerleader case before the Supreme Court.
Oh yeah,
you go through that some
bleep school, bleep cheerleading, bleep everything. Everything. Yeah,
and the Supreme Court said you can't punish that.
Right.
I wonder if it had been racially charged.
Yeah.
Could you punish that on the basis that now she's interfering with our ability to control? You know, there's always, the Supreme Court is always going to rule, if it rules at all, on what's in front of it. And they don't really like to offer tangential ideas in there. You know, you bring this next case to us, we'll consider that when it gets here.
Right.
So, you know, if she'd have said, certainly if she'd have said, I'm going to kill this teacher, that's outside the bounds. So
absolutely.
Somewhere between I'm going to kill this teacher and F cheerleading is the line of what the school can punish. And, of course, private schools can punish anything. That's their business.
That is true, because you're paying to be there, and you don't have to pay.
And they're
to be
not
there.
The government, but all the governmental schools all your public schools are governmental. They don't have that same thing.
Well, I think that, and Stephen Breyer wrote the decision, by the way. It was an 8-1 decision, which I thought was interesting. Stephen Breyer tried very hard to delineate between, you know, he said, you weren't substantially disrupted by this school, which is the line that you would have to cross in order to make this under your purveyance. It's not fair. You don't get to decide what she says and doesn't say as long as it's not substantially disruptive to you. She did it off a school ground. She did it on a Saturday. The only people who could see it were her followers on Instagram, which is less than 300 people. This idea that she had done so, it looked to me like just an overreach on the part of the school.
What I didn't see was how they compensated her.
Yeah,
for this loss.
I don't know either.
I don't
either.
Maybe it's got to go back to the court for them to determine how much damage.
She's a graduate now. This happened when she was a sophomore. Yeah,
she's in college. 2012. So, you know, I missed out on the cheerleading. Yeah. You know, what's that worth? Is that worth $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, $1 million?
Here,
I don't know.
How about this? Have a lifesaver. It's 2:44. Back in a moment. Stick around. I was listening to 60s on 6 the other day. Which is on SiriusXM. I no longer listen to terrestrial music radio unless it's our sister station, Hot 107.7. I love them because they play my kind of music, usually from my era as well. But they got a lot of good throwback stuff over there. Anyway, I'm listening to 60s on 6, and Peter Noon is on.
I've heard him.
Yes, he always refers to himself
with his daughter sometimes.
Herman from Herman's Hermits.
Herman.
He's still playing, he's still working, he's still out there touring and whatnot. But he was talking about some of the great music that he and Herman's Hermits had created, including the song A Kind of Hush All Over the World Tonight, right? And he pointed out that there was this massive orchestra on that song, and the guy who played bass and the guy who directed that orchestra was none other than John Paul Jones. Of Led Zeppelin fame. He had been one of Herman's Hermits before that. Did you know that John
Paul Jones was a
Hermit?
I didn't know he was a Hermit. I knew
Herman's
he was a studio musician.
He was in Herman's
Hermits. He toured with the Hermits?
He did tour with the Hermits. He also toured with the Shadows, which is sort of interesting. And yeah, he was a studio musician. He played with a lot of people. I mean, people are always surprised to find out that Jimmy Page is the guy playing guitar on It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones. He was also a studio musician for quite a while. So... yeah, Spud's trying to do the Carlton. Babylon Bee, despite being a Christian-based organization and parody site, tends to hit it on the head so frequently it's a little bit disturbing. And the headline that they have just posted now is, Emperor Palpatine urges citizens to give up their blasters since they'd need a Death Star to beat the Empire.
That's a Star Wars reference.
It is, yes. But it essentially is a play on, well, you need an F-15 or a nuclear bomb to take on the government. And it's like, no, Joe, we really wouldn't. By the way, you know, the people who are battling in Syria, who are trying to overthrow Bashar al-Assad, they don't have F-15s. But somehow they've managed to keep that government busy for the past 15 years in a civil war, and they're killing more than their fair share just with AK-47s and Kalashnikovs. So, yeah, I mean, this idea that the Second Amendment wasn't intended for that sort of thing, it's exactly what the Second Amendment was intended for.
It's funny how a lot of people, smart people, they put a lot of credence in the amendments they like.
Yeah.
And not so much in the ones they don't. And there are people who are big Second Amendment people, and then if you ask them, they hear that some evidence in a drug case was disallowed because it was an illegal search and seizure, and they let the drug people off. What kind of deal is that?
That's right.
That's we don't want to do that. Well, the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was any after two. Just one and two is all I know,
all I
and
had.
I'm not sure about one.
Yeah. only the speech I agree with. That's
yes.
The kind that should
on
be
on both
there.
Sides.
The rest of it,
they can't come
is...
speak at my college because they don't agree with me or toe the public line. It's just completely ridiculous how it's gone. And the separation of church and state, we like that.
Yeah.
We don't want the church telling Biden he can't have communion because of his position with the state, but we want prayer in school.
Yeah.
You know, it's people are not consistent. They just like what they like, yeah, which
exactly.
is good.
Exactly.
You know, it's fine for them.
And then they do whatever they can to attempt to justify it, you know? I mean, all you really have to do is look back at both slavery and the civil rights battle in this country to find people jumping, doing backflips through hoops of fire to try to explain why African Americans should be treated differently than white people. And you're like, dude, you've got no justification. You are just having to, you know, it's because you want to. That's really all it comes down to.
Exactly. They are, if you go back and just review Wallace in the schoolhouse door.
Yeah.
Which was all orchestrated, by the way.
Oh, of course,
was,
yeah.
That they, was they not a no. An organic thing.
All
they had it all scripted out, and it worked out just the way they had agreed. But the whole notion that these African Americans are going to go to the University of Alabama and ruin our schools.
Sure. Well, Joe Biden said they were going to be turned into jungles. Schools are going to be turned into
President
jungles.
President Joe Biden?
President Joe Biden.
He was said that?
Just a senator at the time, but yes. He did say that we had to stop that from happening.
Wasn't he real seriously anti-crime, too?
He was at one time. Now he's pro-crime, interestingly. I don't
evolution.
Understand that.
They say you got...
Is that what it is? Evolution. That's. I believe in evolution. That's why I think someday soccer players will be born without arms. that's...
What a way to end.
That
that's
is
a disarming
it.
Comment.
For me, Leland Alive comes your way next. I'll be back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you then. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, Talk 99.5.com. Bye-bye now.